Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today over the phone, we are joined by Jim Clash, the band leader and drummer of the VPs, an 80s biz rock parody band. Jim, pleasure to have you on today. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Aiden. It's glad to be back on. I think last time I talked about adventure, and this time rock and roll.
And you know, those are two very fun subjects. You can't go wrong with either of those. But I think a good place for us to start is the VPs, like we mentioned, an 80s biz rock parody band. 80s were really a great time for parody artists like Weird Al Yankovic really leaving their mark on the scene. So for you and the VPs, how did you get your start?
Well, of course, I've been a drummer for a long time, and when I was working at a business school, Columbia, we formed a band to parody the whole 80s thing. We started at Columbia Business School actually parodying the business school. Songs like Love Potion Number 9 became Stockbroker on the Line, Secret Agent Man became Madison Avenue Man, and we started at the advertising agency Gray, produced a music video called Madison Avenue Man. An Ad Age reporter was there. She wrote about it. All of a sudden, we had all these offers to play at corporate parties in New York. We didn't have any songs. So we had to put it together. And we ended up recording three albums, three LPs. And we got to be like famous for 15 seconds. We were on the Today Show, Good Morning America, BBC, New York Times Magazine. And our skit was we were business guys by day, and by night we parodied what we did by day, all the greed of the 80s.
You know, it's always interesting because the 80s was such a culture of excess, especially when you look at the world of business and that yuppie culture. And like you mentioned, you have several songs like Stockbroker on the Line, a parody of Love Potion Number 9, and Big Tipper, a parody of Day Tripper. And as you kind of look at the state of the country right now, how are you thinking these songs are holding up? Because in my view, I think these are very telling that they are relevant as ever in today's day and age.
Well, you know, I really think there's a movie or a documentary in our band, the VPs. I've always thought that would be a good idea to tell a story of the 80s again. But, yeah, I mean, look at Stockbroker on the Line. You've got this manipulation of the markets. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but you see the ups and the downs and the volatility. Obviously, Ollie's Girl, which was a parody of Bobby's Girl, all about the Iran-Contra scandal in the 80s. Interesting life, I guess. Stranger than fiction, Oliver North and Fawn Hall just got married. So what we implied in the song was that they were an item. Oliver North was married at the time. And here we go, 40 years later, and they get married. So, yeah, it's coming around. I don't know. It's different, but still, in the same vein, history repeats itself.
You know, looking a little closer at Ollie's Girl, like you mentioned, history kind of came full circle there at the time of that Iran-Contra arms for hostages scheme. There was a little bit of gossip going around that Oliver North and Fawn Hill were an item. Now, finding out nearly 40 years later that this potentially had a lot of truth to it, do you feel a little vindicated in writing that song?
Oh, you know, we had fun with it. It's a parody of Bobby's Girl from 1962. But I have to give credit to Jennifer Hoadley, our lead vocalist. She wrote that song, and she sang it, and she hit it right on the nose. I go back and listen to it now, and she sang it in this sort of a dreamy way that Fawn Hall might sing it. And, you know, the implication was there was something going on between them. You know, she's now, I think she works, she's an executive director at the Meridian Surgery Center in New York. So she's still in New York, but she's still alive. All the VPs are still alive. Maybe we could do a reunion as the senior VPs.
You know, that's something that you've teased in recent months is a potential reunion. I love that update in the name from the VPs to the senior VPs. Now, you've mentioned that all the band members are alive. What are they currently up to, and kind of what is the possibility of a reunion like that look like?
Well, I mean, obviously, if we got some attention from like a documentary filmmaker or something. Back in the day, by the way, we had interest in a movie company called Orion Pictures and Lorimar to do a sitcom kind of like Friends. But, yeah, I mean, if that happened, we could reunite. Morris Rubinko, our lead guitarist, is in Hawaii now. I don't know if he's retired or not, but he was a banker. And then we have Phil Shaw. I think he's somewhere in maybe the Midwest. He's still around. And let's see, there's me, and then there's Jennifer. So, yeah, we could do it. It's just a question of logistics.
And like you mentioned, today's day and age, history kind of repeating itself. I think it'd be very fun to see a reunion of the VPs. Now, in addition to your work with the VPs as the lead drummer and band leader, you're also a very prolific journalist, both in the field of adventure and music. And you've been able to secure interviews with some of the most prolific rock musicians in the industries. And as a part of that, you've been able to write your book Amplified on the subject, citing a lot of those interviews with rock legends. Using this knowledge and experience, how do you view the state of rock music today as compared to that classic rock era of the 60s and 70s?
No comparison. You know, today it's all synthesized. A lot of people out there, no talent. There's the rap groups, which I've never gotten into, synthesized music, drum machines. We all played live. We did our stuff live. And, you know, there's no substitute. Back in the day, Jefferson Airplane, those guys, they would do one take of Need Somebody to Love, and they'd run it. Nowadays, they have 48-track recording studios. They can overdub. They can go back and back and back. So I don't think there's any comparison. Now, again, I might be biased because I'm older, but classic rock to me was where it was at. And for me, as a, I don't know, I've gotten to interview these amazing people I listened to as a kid and write it up in that book, Amplified. But John Fogerty, Ginger Baker, Peter Townsend, Roger Daltrey, you know, Dion DiMucci, Mickey Dolenz and the Monkees, they're all in there. But for me to actually get to do that, it was like a dream come true, Art Garfunkel especially.
You know, it's incredible. You and I text back and forth quite frequently. And one of the things that you're always mentioning is who you're coming up with an interview this upcoming week. Last week, you're jamming with Alice Cooper later this year for a story on fantasy rock camps. So you really do have that hands-on experience in the world of rock. And an observation that I kind of made in preparing for this interview is today's rock music and just music in general, it feels a lot more corporate than it did back in the 80s. It felt like there was a certain more freedom and more control over what these bands were able to put out back in that golden age of classic rock.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the 60s were kind of the fertile generation for a lot of creativity, not just rock music, but television sitcoms like I Dream of Jeannie and Mr. Ed, and just really crazy stuff. And now, yeah, it's a lot more corporate, controlled. You know, I mean, you can laugh that we were a corporate band, but we were not controlled. We were on our own record label. I raised $100,000 on Wall Street to put that whole thing together, record the records, put out a TV commercial, and get all that publicity. So I kind of wonder if we were around now, how that would have worked with social media and being able to put songs out on, you know, Apple, all that stuff. It would have been a lot easier for us. But again, I'm disappointed in the state of rock music today. The 20s were in literature, American literature, a very creative period with Hemingway, Fitzgerald, Steinbeck. I saw the 60s that way with Jefferson Airplane and The Who and The Doors, and we haven't had that.
You know, it really has kind of dying down from that. I mean, especially when you're seeing the rise of generative AI groups claiming to be artists by using AI. And it's just something that I think it steals away the humanity from the music and just any medium. So it's definitely a harder age to get in. And that's why I think classic rock has evolved in such a timeless manner as it has. I mean, you still have classic rock stations all over the place here at our station. It's something that has really transcended generations because of how just human it feels, how much it can connect to us.
Yeah, and again, when you really hit it with creativity, people get it. Now, again, I'm biased, I'm older, but these people, we were lucky. We had the Woodstocks and the Monterey Pop Festivals. You know, we had, I won't say the psychedelic drugs, but a lot of it was just free-spirited in the 60s, and now it's much more controlled. And I really worry about AI. I worry about it as a writer. It's going to be hard to manage it. I think they'll be able to write hit songs with it where musicians aren't even involved. You know, use the algorithm and say, take 100 hits. What was the similar things here? Put a song together with drum machines, synthesizers, and put it out and see what happens. It worries me.
No, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm worried about the way that AI is heading. But, Jim, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
I just want to say that, you know, I pursued a dream back then at a Columbia Business School. A lot of people thought I was crazy, but we made it happen. And I would say anybody who has a dream, who wants to make it happen, can do it. Just be diligent and be realistic.
Well, Jim, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, our guest, Jim Clash, the band leader and drummer of the VPs, an 80s biz rock parody band, as well as a prolific journalist. You can find his book, Amplified, Interviews with Icons of Rock and Roll, on Amazon. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.